Welcome back to the Memorial Day special edition of Minnesota Military Radio, brought to you in part by Federal Premium Ammunition and the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. We've been sitting in this morning for Andrew and Jack and Miss Sam. They'll be back tomorrow morning with Up and Adam. And joining me now for this third hour is Brigadier General John Jensen from the Minnesota Army National Guard. General, welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio.
Thanks, Tom. It's great to be back with you. I think this is maybe my third year to spend Memorial Day with you, so it's kind of become my new tradition on Memorial Day is to spend part of my morning with Tom Lyons on this great radio station.
Well, we're happy to have you, sir, and first thing I want you to do is explain to our listeners your dual-hatted position.
Oh, yes, absolutely. So I'm one of the lucky dozen or so Army National Guard general officers who actually maintain two official positions inside of the Army. So my normal position, my priority to the Army is still serving as the director of the Joint Staff for the Minnesota National Guard, working with Major General Rick Nash. And then I'm also assigned as the Deputy Commanding General for U.S. Army Africa, headquartered in Vicenza, Italy. So 60 to 90 days a year, I go to the continent of Africa in support of Major General Darrell Williams and the U.S. Army Africa in support of General Rodriguez and AFRICOM. So I just returned week before, from Tanzania. We were in Arusha, Tanzania, where we put on the African Land Forces Summit, where 37 chiefs of army across the continent of Africa joined us with General Mark Milley, the Chief of Staff for the U.S. Army, Major General Williams, the Commander of U.S. Army Africa. And we spent a week together talking about the issues, the challenges, and the problems on the African continent and how the United States Army can support the activity of those land forces chiefs and also how they can support us, because it's a two-way street. It's a relationship. We gain as much from our African partners as we give.
General, I'm going to have to get out my map. Minnesota Military Radio just got back from Kuwait in support of serving our troops and our troops over there and doing some live shows, but I'll have to take a hard look at that African map and get some of those countries down.
Yeah, that was the first thing I had to do was to learn the geography of the continent. And by the way, Tom, I would like to say it looks like you've recovered very well from your trip to Kuwait. And as they say about Kuwait, it's not only can you see the sun, but you can touch the sun, especially this time of the year. So it's a dry heat, right?
Then you can feel that dust hitting you in the face, too.
That's right, yes.
But our troops were in great spirits. They were doing a lot of 5Ks, and they looked happy. They're doing a great job, and we were glad to be able to go over there and tell them that story.
Yeah, and you know, it's being over there a couple different times and having people from Minnesota come visit you, whether it's the Serving Our Troops team or one of our congressional representatives, you know, when somebody from your home state comes and is willing to spend part of their time with you, it means everything. It really does. So hats off to you and that whole team that went over to Kuwait. We really appreciate it. I know the soldiers and the families. I really appreciate it. So thanks, Tom, to you and that whole team that went over.
Well, Pat Harris and the Serving Our Troops team went over there and cooked 2,700 steak dinners for our troops. And some of your soldiers can still eat two or three steaks, Joe.
Absolutely. Absolutely. You know, Pat Harris, he may not be an Army general, but he commands an army of volunteers. And it's great to watch him and that whole team work their magic. I mean, they are veterans. It's not the first time they've been over there and put that operation together. So we can learn a lot from them as an organization and as a military on how to do logistics.
Especially how he got all those stakes through custom and safely off to the base. And the commander of the 682nd Engineer Battalion had 1,000 extra stakes under captivity when we left, and he was pretty happy about it.
Yeah, I imagine Keith Ferdon will make sure that those 1,000 stakes go to a good project somewhere.
General, we have a special guest in the studio this morning, Don Kerr. Don, welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio.
Thanks, Tom. Good to be here.
Don, the last time you were on, you were here in your capacity as president of the AUSA, and we were talking about some things going on around the nation, and specifically a bad word called sequestration. Can you tell our listeners what that means?
Tom, I can. Back in 2011, a law was passed that was supposed to be so bad that it would never be allowed to go into effect and would force a compromise between the House and Senate on a budget. And unfortunately, it was not apparently too bad to go into effect. And it has resulted in some pretty draconian cuts in our defense budget particularly, but really across the whole federal budget. And we've been working ever since the law was passed to try to roll it back. And the good news is we're starting to see some progress. We're starting to see some indicators that the Congress is really understanding what's going on. One of those key indicators is something called House Resolution 4534, also known as the Posture Act. And that stands for Protecting Our Security Through Utilizing Right-Sized End Strength. So that's the Posture Act. And Congressman Walz is one of the authors of this act. And what it does is proposes increasing the end strength ceiling that's been imposed upon the armed forces, specifically in the Army and the Marine Corps, has to do with land forces, to allow a larger Army and a larger Marine Corps. And this is certainly a step in the right direction. And what's good about the bill, and I'd recommend that people look it up. It's very interesting because it articulates very clearly why it's important to do this. It talks about the risks that were assessed back in 2012 that resulted in these end strength caps, and how many of those risks have proven to be underestimated. And I think there's a real good logical process, and I think this is we're starting to see how this could turn and move the Army particularly. And I'm still in my capacity as the local president of AUSA for a few more days here. I actually turn out the middle of this week and am replaced by another fine gentleman who will take this role on, and I'm sure will carry this as one of the flags moving forward into his administration. But still important stuff, still important that the people understand this and they understand what the impact of those decisions that the Congress have on our own national security.
Don, we're here today on Memorial Day because it's a day to remember the men and women who died while serving the country of the United States and protecting our freedom and doing the things that allow us to enjoy our freedom here in the United States. And a critical component of that is to fund the DOD and fund the military at such a level that our troops can go out and do their jobs efficiently, get it done, get home safely, and so that we don't have to remember any more than we have to on Memorial Day. And is this bill one of those that's going to help them to deliver the right size force?
Tom, I think it is. I think it's a step in the right direction, and I think the way we'll have to shift what we're doing to educate and inform the Congress is to remind them that it costs money to have this Army, and that's why we're in this predicament in the first place. And actually, I think General Milley has done a really good job advising the Congress when he's called to testify that you can't just increase my end strength. I need more soldiers to do the job properly. I think that's true, although he has also expressed that the job can be done with what we currently have. It's just a question of how much risk we're taking. But I think he's used a pretty good round number of, if you're going to increase the end strength of the Army by 10,000 people, it's going to cost $1 billion. So if you're going to go up 40,000 people, it's going to be $4 billion. And I think it's good to have that kind of conversation going on so that people do realize what we're talking about, because it does cost a lot of money to train our Army. I think General Jensen's going to talk about a training event that our 1st Brigade Combat Team is going through this year. And those kinds of events are incredibly important. They're also very expensive, but they're things that we need to do to maintain the readiness, because that readiness of our Army and the training that we do has allowed us to keep the casualties much below previous generations when they were engaged in combat activities.
So, Don, this is a discussion that's really never ending. What size should the Navy be? What size should the Air Force be? The Army, the Marines, Coast Guard? And over the last decade or so, we've been cutting, and now we're at one of the lowest levels we've been in a long time. And what I'm hearing in a lot of the interviews on Minnesota Military Radio is not quite sure how we're going to get this all done, especially if another war breaks out somewhere, and how are we going to do this and do it right so that when we're sending our troops into harm's way, they've got the equipment they need, we've got enough troops, we've got everything they need to accomplish their mission quickly, safely, and get home.
That's exactly right, Tom. And I think it's also important to understand that, you know, this is a big ship and you can't turn it on a dime. For us to grow the Army now, we're going to have to spin up the training base, and it's going to take time to enlist new soldiers and train them properly and integrate them into their units. So this isn't just something that we can make a decision next week. We're going to make it bigger and just have that happen. There's a lot involved in adjusting the shape and size of all of our armed forces. And that's just something we have to be very conscious of.
Can't just go to the shelf and pick up some experienced officers and experienced NCOs and expect them to go out and get to work.
That's exactly right.
Don, thanks for joining us today. And I'd urge all our listeners to get a hold of your elected officials and ask them about sequestration and ask them about what's this bill number, Don?
This is House Resolution 4534, the Posture Act.
All right. Thanks for joining us again today, Mr. Kerr. This is a special Memorial Day edition of Minnesota Military Radio, brought to you in part by Federal Premium Ammunition and the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs. Please stay with us. When we come back, we'll be talking with Governor Bart Shaton.
Fighting soldiers from the sky. Fearless men who jump and die.
Welcome back to the special Memorial Day edition of Minnesota Military Radio, brought to you in part by Federal Premium Ammunition and the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. My co-host this hour is Brigadier General John Jensen from the Minnesota Army National Guard. And joining us now is Senator Amy Klobuchar. Senator, welcome to the show.
Well, thank you, Tom. Thanks, General. It's great to be on this really important day. Thank you.
Senator, I know you've probably got a busy schedule, but what does Memorial Day mean for you?
Well, for me, it means honoring those who made the ultimate sacrifice. It means remembering that, especially for our young people, I think my favorite thing is watching parents at the Fort Snelling Memorial Service and watching those kids on their parents' shoulders and knowing that for some of them, they'll be hearing the first time about Pearl Harbor on the 75th anniversary, or they'll be hearing the first time about some of the stories of those that really gave everything up for them. And I think that part of it, the way the families have kept the memories of their loved ones alive, is one of the most important things about Memorial Day. And I hope as many people as possible will go to one. There's so many events all over the state, but you know, the big one at Fort Snelling at 9:45 is one that's always very meaningful to me, and then I'm also going to be in Cottage Grove this afternoon.
So a busy schedule this weekend, Senator.
Yes. Well, one of the most touching things was you probably heard about the Wilmer, where the World War II guy, John Anderson, who was with the Navy and was killed in 72 years ago at D-Day, and they thought he was lost forever at sea, and a researcher, John Lindstrom from Wilmer, as well as John Anderson's family, just started to look into it and believed he was in an unmarked grave, and our office helped them out to get the remains tested, and sure enough, they were right, and 1,000 people greeted them when he finally was able to be laid to rest next to his parents at the cemetery in Wilmer. So that was a pretty amazing thing to be at this weekend.
Senator, this is Brigadier General Jensen, and I just wanted to touch on John Anderson as well. It was kind of a unique weekend because while that was going on in Wilmer, up in Eveleth, we also returning a World War II veteran, Private John Sersha, was being returned and interned at the cemetery there. And can you talk a little bit about what your office specifically did to help the Anderson family out as it relates to identifying his remains so
yes,
he could be returned?
You know, they did all this research and figured out that he was probably in this unmarked grave, and they kept contacting the Navy. And you know, they get a lot of these requests, as you know, and a lot of new testing is allowing us to figure out who is in these unmarked graves. And so they had said no several times, and we got involved by contacting the Navy, writing a letter, asking them, please, we really think this is true, and it turned out it was true. X-91 was his unmarked grave, and he's one of the few people now at Normandy. I just someone sent me an email that they had just been there, and now there's an asterisk next to his name for those unknown who were killed there. And it says that his body had been found and brought home. So that's a pretty cool story for the family.
It is. And I was not at John Anderson's event, but I was up in Virginia for John Sersha. And I can tell you, ma'am, the relief of the family, you know, to have their loved one finally returned really provided closure for that family. But it also gave them an opportunity to really celebrate the life of their loved one. And I thought that was very important.
Yes, very important. And I think the other part about today is just how we treat those that are still with us, our veterans and those that are still on the front line. And so that's what I'll be talking about, some of that today at Fort Snelling and the need. As you know, we had the whole Agent Orange issue coming out of Vietnam, and now we have a new issue, which is burn pits out of Iraq and Afghanistan. And some of the Minnesota National Guard members actually came to me with this, and Tom Tillis and I, the Republican from North Carolina, Senator, they have a lot of bases there, as you know, General, have worked on this together to try to get some best practices working with the VA for how to handle some of the asthma and other conditions that we're seeing coming out of those that were close by to where a lot of the burning was going on, because things were set up, understandably, on a makeshift basis. And it seems that there's now 65,000 vets registered coming out of Iraq and Afghanistan that have had some issues with it.
General, can you explain to our listeners that don't know what's a burn pit and what's bad about it?
Well, Tom, many of our bases, what we did was our trash and items that we no longer use, there wasn't really a landfill system in Iraq or Afghanistan to take these to. And plus, when you did dispose of these, what you would have is you would have local citizens come in, and they'd break into your base to try to scavenge through your items there. And so a technique that was being used is we would just burn the remains, and there was really not a lot of control on what went into those. And so in some cases we were burning items that created a toxic smoke. And you know, there were soldiers that were tasked with guarding these areas, some of them, unfortunately, created a health condition as a result of inhaling some of that smoke. And so it was a very prevalent practice for a long time overseas.
So, Senator, we're grateful that you've introduced some legislation to help with that.
Yes, and there's a lot of interest in it. Senator McCain's one of the co-sponsors, and there's a number of, it's really a bipartisan bill, so I'm hopeful we're going to be able to do something about that. And, you know, we always continue the fight as well about benefits and making sure that our Guard and Reserve, which the general understands was really been in these last conflicts, was treated as almost active duty. And so we've worked really hard to make sure they get their benefits. We have one issue we're working on right now with the Sinai and some of our National Guard, and always, of course, the backlog and other things that we've been working on. But I think that's all part of, when we look at honoring those who died and made the ultimate sacrifice, we want to make sure all of this work is done and they get treated with the respect they should have, but that we know that if they were alive, they would want those who are living to be treated that with dignity as well.
Senator, in the last year, we lost an incredible lady, Betty Walls Strofus, who was a WASP in World War II, which is Women Air Force Service Pilots. And we've had her on the show many times. She was energetic and incredible. What a fun lady.
Yeah, she was just, I really, you know how you meet some people and you just will never forget them? And she was like that. As you know, she served during World War II. She was one of about 1,000 or so WASP women pilots, and at that time they weren't really allowed to be pilots or serve in any kind of combat zone. And so their job and her job, because she was such a good pilot, was to train the men, the male pilots, and she was that good that she was training, you know, dozens and dozens of male pilots to go into the combat zone. And so what she did is she did that, and then she also ferried things back and forth, supplies, and flew them. And then she came back to Faribault, where she's from, and not only, of course, was at that time they weren't considered veterans, but she couldn't even get a job as any kind of pilot commercial because it was so long ago and they didn't have women in there. But she was this incredibly resilient woman. So she raised a family, did some other jobs, but then went on to win her fights. And one of them was to have those WASPs considered veterans, which she got done like 30 years ago. But then the other was to make sure those who wanted to be buried in Arlington were able to be buried in Arlington. And so I joined forces with a Republican congresswoman from Arizona, who actually herself was a pilot in the military, and Joni Ernst from Iowa, and Barbara Mikulski. Anyway, we all pushed this over the last few months. And in fact, we passed a bill, and the president just signed it into law, guaranteeing that those remaining women who are still alive, and there's not many of them, who want to have their ashes buried in Arlington can do that. And by the way, there is one woman, a granddaughter, who fought for this. Her grandmother, when she died, said, "Don't bury me until I can be buried in Arlington." She was a WASP, so no one's happier than that woman. So.
Senator Betty Strofus is smiling at you for getting that one done.
Yeah. Well, and what was great is Betty herself wanted to be buried with her family, and she didn't. But she was doing this for other people. And again, such a great Memorial Day message, because she kept this fight on, not for herself, but so that the memories of these other women, and while they may not have been treated with the respect they deserved while they were alive, she wanted to make sure they were treated that respect when they were no longer with us.
Senator, thanks for taking time to join us today.
Well, it was great to be on, and thank you so much for your work.
Thank you, ma'am. That was Senator Amy Klobuchar joining us on Memorial Day here on our special edition of Minnesota Military Radio, brought to you in part by Federal Premium Ammunition and Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs. We have to take a short break. When we come back, Governor Mark Dayton will join us. Please stay with us.
You're listening to Minnesota Military Radio on Twin Cities News Talk, AM 1130. Now back to Minnesota Military Radio on Twin Cities News Talk, AM 1130.
Welcome back to our special Memorial Day edition of Minnesota Military Radio, brought to you in part by Federal Premium Ammunition and the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs. I'm your host, Tom Lyons, and my co-host this hour is Brigadier General John Jensen, and we're joined now by Governor Mark Dayton. Governor, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Tom. General, happy Memorial Day to both of you.
Thank you, sir.
Governor, how are you celebrating Memorial Day, and is there anyone or anything special you think about?
Well, I think about what this day means. Having been to, unfortunately, too many services for our Minnesota heroes who lost their lives in Afghanistan and Iraq, I think about their sacrifice and others who passed in other military conflicts, and I think about their families. I remember the young children, the look on their faces, realizing they're never going to see their fathers and mothers again, and I just, my heart goes out to those families of those Minnesota heroes who made the ultimate sacrifice, and it reminds me just how grateful we all are to all of those who perished on our behalf.
Governor, I know you've worked with the Minnesota National Guard and military and veterans groups in Minnesota for years, since your days as a senator, as a matter of fact, and is there any one story from those years that comes to mind that you'd like to share with us?
Well, I'm very filled up about the Beyond the Yellow Ribbon program, which I was able in my final year in the U.S. Senate to get funded for the first time. And I went to China with then Ted Stevens, who was then the chair of the Appropriations Committee, because I wanted to go to on the Codill trip, but I also wanted to put in a plug for this funding for the Beyond the Yellow Ribbon. We were in a hotel up in Beijing the last night. And I went and bought about 25 cigars for the group. And after numerous cigars, proving that the fire alarm in the hotel room didn't work, because we definitely smoked it up, and several bottles of wine and a couple of cases of beer, I broached it with Ted Stevens, and he agreed to fund it, and he did. So that's the story of the On Yellow Ribbon.
I didn't know what got down to that, Mr. Governor. That's a great story. Governor, on a day like today, Memorial Day, it's a day to remember those who have paid the ultimate price for our nation, and no one knows that better than our Gold Star families, which are the families that have lost a loved one to military service. And you've been involved with that group and supported them for a long time. What message would you want to send to our Gold Star mothers, fathers, spouses, and children on Memorial Day?
A thank you is such an inadequate two words, but we're eternally in your debt, all of us in Minnesota and this country. You suffered the ultimate loss of your loved ones, and every day you carry that loss in your hearts. My heart goes out to you. I'm terribly sorry for what you suffered, and again, your sons and daughters are true American heroes. They live in the pantheon of true heroes for eternity.
Sir, I think most people in Minnesota know that as governor, you're also the commander-in-chief of the Minnesota National Guard. What would you consider to be the most rewarding and maybe the most challenging part of being commander-in-chief?
Well, the most rewarding is getting to be around the patriots, guardsmen and women, and going to the ceremonies where they return from their missions. The most challenging, the most difficult, of course, going to the funeral services. Thank the good Lord, we haven't had as many of those in the last couple of years. But during the height of the Afghan-Iraq wars, which is when I was serving in the United States Senate, there were just too many of those terrible events. And it was important to be there to show the family that those of us who were public officials representing all of Minnesota were there to express our gratitude to them for their loved ones and express how important their loss was to all of us. But they were a very painful ceremony, especially the young children, the little sons and daughters who were just wondering, still trying to comprehend they're never going to see their father again.
Governor, growing up, were there any special traditions your family observed, or maybe some special family members who served?
It was a family day. My father served in World War II, but my uncles served. My uncle Ken Dayton was in a troop trained, which was hit the train split in half, and everybody in the front half perished, and everybody in the back half survived. So he was just the luck of physician. He you know, never forgot that fortunate he was. But ours was a family day, a quiet day, but a family day. We had flags posted in our home, and it was a somber day. You know, and it is a somber day. It's a day to remember just how terribly fortunate we are in this country to have the freedoms that those men and women died for to protect, and that so many people around the world don't enjoy.
Governor, this is Brigadier General Jensen. I just wanted to talk to you a little bit about the Preston State Veterans Cemetery. You know, today we have our traditional event out at Fort Snelling, that beautiful cemetery, National Cemetery at Fort Snelling. We also have the State Veterans Cemetery up at Camp Ripley, which is also equally beautiful. But yesterday we just dedicated the new State Cemetery, Veterans Cemetery, down in Preston. If you could talk just a little bit, sir, in terms of your support for that state cemetery and what was the driving force behind your support?
Yes, General. That's a tremendous step forward to provide a proper burial ground for veterans in southeastern Minnesota. Representative Greg Davids, state representative there, really championed that project, and I was very pleased to support it and put it into my bonding bill request just a couple years ago, and it passed. And so now we have and I haven't been there personally. I will get there as I'm this summer when I start traveling around the state, but I'm told it's just a beautiful setting and a proper final resting place for the men and women who served our country.
Governor, on Memorial Day, what's your schedule for the rest of the day?
Well, you know, I'm under the weather. I was going to go to the Fort Snelling event, but I'm unfortunately not going to be able to make it today. So it's going to be a quiet day.
All right, sir. Any final thoughts for our listeners on Memorial Day?
Just, again, let's remember how fortunate we are to live in this great nation and to have the men and women who are protecting us every day and night around here and around the world, and remember those who made the ultimate sacrifice on our behalf. Live up to what they did for us.
Governor, thanks for joining us this morning.
Thank you, Tom. Thank you, General. Take care.
That was Governor Mark Dayton on our special Memorial Day broadcast of Minnesota Military Radio, brought to you in part by Federal Premium Ammunition and the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs. When we come back, General Jensen and I will have some final thoughts to wrap up the show One segment left, sir. I think we'll make it to the end.
Well, I'm not worried about you, Tom. You're looking pretty good over there. So I look forward to the last segment here. Maybe not as much as you do, though.
Sure, please stay with us. We'll be right back. Welcome back to our special Memorial Day broadcast, the Minnesota Military Radio, brought to you in part by Federal Premium Ammunition and the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. My co-host is Brigadier General John Jensen. We've been sitting in this morning for Andrew and Jack and Miss Sam for Up and Adam in the morning. They'll be back tomorrow. And, General, this is our final segment of our special Memorial Day show. And all morning I've been trying to get to this clip, this poem that we recorded for a special July 4th show. We actually went out on an honor flight a couple of months ago with Jerry and interviewed about a dozen World War II veterans and produced up a great show. While we were there, we went to the Tomb of the Unknown, watched the changing of the guard and the flag coming down. And Josh, have you got that 21 Steps? Let's play this. 21 Steps by Thomas Holmquist. Arlington, where our unknown soldier lies, the place to honor those who gave their lives. Those that died, the generations be free. May we remember them through eternity. This unknown soldier guarded day and night by the choice of a few with all their might to show mankind their respect and dignity to those who defended our lives and liberty. 21 steps, he takes 21 steps, eyes locked in honor for the soldier he guards, and 21 seconds before he turns to honor the soldiers who never return. 21 steps until the end of time. For our lost soldiers we cannot find. They gave their lives for you and me, the price paid to preserve our dignity. So let's take 21 steps, just 21 steps. Lock our eyes in honor for our soldiers that died and think for 21 seconds about the sacrifice to preserve our freedom and our children's lives. General, to preserve our freedom and our children's lives. That ends, and we thought on Memorial Day that that'd be appropriate when we're thinking of all those service members, men and women who've died while serving our country to protect the United States of America.
Yeah, Tom, you know, there's a lot of unique memorials and places you can visit in Washington, D.C. But if you go to the Tomb of the Unknown Soldier and you watch that ceremony, the changing of the guard, and you watch that, you know, I get a little choked up just thinking about the couple times I've been there to see that. It's amazing. It's moving. It's very emotional. And, you know, I would highly recommend everybody get an opportunity to go out there and watch that. It'll move you more than you can think.
Arlington Cemetery, if you haven't been there, it's hard to describe. It's one of my favorite places. Funny thing to say about a cemetery, but it's peaceful, it's respectful, full of honor, and full of our fellow United States citizens who have given their lives in service to our country.
Yeah, when you go there, the deep respect, the solemn respect that the visitors honor is amazing to watch as well. I mean, people know when they arrive there and they stand there that they're at a very special place, and it's very moving to be there and watch that and be a part of that.
General, Minnesota Military Radio now has been on the air for 5.5 years. It's been produced by iHeartMedia, along with the Minnesota National Guard, the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, the Minneapolis VA healthcare system. And not only are we heard Sunday mornings at 7 on Twin Cities News Talk AM 1130, but we are now on 33 other stations all over Minnesota. And
Tom, you're a superstar. You are a superstar.
We're just telling stories, General. But one of the most meaningful parts of that is to tell the story of the military in Minnesota, and that's mostly Minnesota National Guard and Reserve troops. But the Minnesota National Guard, since September 11th, 2001, has been deployed all over the world to countless countries and thousands of people. And the thing that keeps coming up over and over and over again is the high readiness status of the Minnesota National Guard and the legendary 34th Infantry Division Red Bulls. And we're at a point in the training period now where there's an event coming up, the National Training Center Rotation out in California. It's really the top training event of the year for active duty Army and Guard, isn't it?
Yeah, it's really the Super Bowl of training events for the Army. It's conducted at the National Training Center, which is just right outside of Barstow, California, at Fort Irwin, California. And it's the premier maneuver training area in the Army. It's about 1,000 square miles where you're able to operate every weapon system, every vehicle, every piece of equipment that a unit has out
there. In the desert.
In the desert against what we call a world-class opposing force or op four that are trained specifically to fight against U.S. Formations. And so,
and you can live fire.
Yes, you can. Yeah, that's certainly part of it. Like I said, every weapon system that we have. And, you know, an NTC is kind of unique. In addition to 1,000 square miles, we can use electromagnetic spectrum there. The airspace is cleared for military use only. It's quite a ways away from any populated area. So, I mean, you really get to use everything that the brigade combat team would employ in heavy or land warfare. And it's an incredible event. And so this year, from between about Memorial Day to July 4th, Independence Day, roughly that during that time period, our 1st Brigade Combat Team of the 34th Infantry Division, headquartered in Bloomington, will be out there. But they'll be joined by soldiers from 16 states or 15 other states. So a total of 16 states will be represented out there, both active duty and reserve component. 5,914 soldiers will be under the command of Colonel Bob Interest, the brigade commander. And just to kind of give you a little reference of how big that is, 5,900 soldiers is larger than the National Guard of 20 of our states and territories. So Colonel Bob Interest and his command sergeant major there will be in command of a formation larger than some states' National Guards, to include, for example, Colorado. And so it's an amazing thing. They're going to focus on what we call decisive action rotation. So basically, that's the most complex military operation that that we have in the Army. We do wide area security, combined arms maneuver. So combined arms maneuver, if you can think about tanks and Bradleys and soldiers and artillery and fixed-wing aircraft, rotary-wing aircraft, all performing an operation simultaneously, towards one objective. Most complex thing we have in the Army. We're very excited for our 1st Brigade. We think they're very well postured to have a successful rotation. Again, it's Minnesota National Guard soldiers engaged on the national stage as well as the international stage, because we have you just came back from visiting the 682nd Engineer. We've got 2nd Battalion, 135th Infantry, that's getting ready to go to the Sinai in support of the multinational force operations. And then we have the 148th, who's over there in Korea right now flying operations in support of our operations in Korea. So we're still engaged, Tom, throughout the world, throughout the nation, doing important things, doing big things, and things that are being noticed, not only by our local representatives here, but the national representatives as well, in the Army and the Air Force. And so it still remains a very exciting time to serve in our military, especially here in Minnesota. Senator Klobuchar and the governor were both on today, and you can just sense the support that we have from our congressional delegation, our delegation here at the state capitol, but more importantly, the citizens throughout the whole state of Minnesota.
So for our listeners, we've been telling these stories on Minnesota Military Radio for 5.5 years now. All of those podcasts are available at minnesotamilitaryradio.com. You can go in there and put in National Training Center Rotation and learn all about how much equipment and how many personnel are going out there. General, we just got about a minute left. Any final thoughts for Memorial Day?
Well, you know, Tom, I know you've asked that question to all of our guests, and they've all said the same thing in terms of honoring those who paid the ultimate sacrifice. I would just ask, you know, at 3 o'clock, you know, everybody take 1 minute and pause and think about those service members who have given the ultimate sacrifice. But also go out and celebrate Memorial Day. Celebrate the peace and the freedom that our service members have given us, and cheer and be loud.
Thank you, General. It was Brigadier General John Jensen joining me today for this special edition, Memorial Day edition of Minnesota Military Radio, brought to you in part by Federal Premium Ammunition and the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs. Andrew and Jack and Miss Sam will be back tomorrow and up and at 'em. Please have a great day, and remember, 3 o'clock today, take a moment just to think and remember all those who have given their all in service to our country. Thanks for listening.